This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
I'm trying not to. Like, we stocked up a little bit when it first started, you know, with same kind of shit Shane was saying, canned goods and whatever and water, but nobody wants to eat canned Chef Boyardee and microwave shit. You know, it's no good for you, and it's not very good to begin with. So I've been going out every couple of days, just a little bit more stocking up. Like, I had to go out yesterday to get to stop by the vet to get medication for one of our cats. And you can't even go in there. They won't let you in. They have to come out and take your card information and then whatever. But I noticed going there, and then I went to the grocery store after. And yesterday, as we're recording this, was Monday. It was like Labor Day, man. Like, there was more people out because everyone's off or sent home or whatever. And I was like, they just did the deal here in Pennsylvania where you're not supposed to be out unless you're going to the pharmacy or the grocery store or work. And they're supposed
it's almost
to be
like,
up and down.
It's almost I feel a lot of people's nature now is like, fuck it, bro. This is going to go over just like everything else has. and people aren't really going to take it seriously till it hits somebody close to them.
Yeah.
You know? That's so, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I know people that were having block parties, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, they're posting pictures, and you can see their kids playing with other kids, and this. I'm like, dude, this isn't, like, I don't want to be a fucking, you know, buzzkill, but what the fuck, you know? Like, this isn't the way it's supposed to go right now. You got to chill. But
right. You got senators are getting it, and fucking somebody just got it, a real big deal just got it.
Well, Tom Hanks was the first, him and his wife were the first big names, right?
No, but somebody like yesterday or today that had like a big name. I forget now who it was. But anyways, yeah, bro, you just don't know who has. Oh, well, if this girl got it, Dana Brooke and Ray got it, imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, whenever we talk this kind of stuff, like I lean Republican and I have for a few years, but I'm starting to get pissed at Trump going out there and going, we're gonna try to hammer this away, and we're gonna reopen the country on Easter and open the churches, and it's gonna be beautiful. And I'm like, dude, there's no fucking way, if we're following the patterns of like Italy and England and everything, that we're gonna be ready,
bro,
in 2 weeks.
As I told you before, his whole thing has been predicated on the economy. We've had a strong economy, and yeah, he was gonna run on that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And how can he run on it now?
No, and
so he's trying to get the economy somehow back on track.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look, we were going to hit for a disaster, and I saved it.
Yeah.
You know?
And because
come election time, if this economy's rattled, that ain't going to help him.
No. But it's just, like, usually, you know, he'll say stupid things, and I'll be like, man, shut up. Like, why isn't someone policing him? And with all these speeches on this, we're going to get it back by Easter. I'm like, someone needs to shut him up. And I just read that New York, their cases went up like 40% today. Like, it's not tapering off. It's getting worse, you know? How could, like, the focus on we're going to get things back on Easter Sunday and everyone's going to be able to go to church and stuff. It's just wrong. You sound stupid.
Yep. 1,000%, bro. That's why I don't understand sometimes Glenn, you know, he's an intelligent guy, and then you see that no matter what, he's always defending him. It's like, bro, you're defending the indefensible. Just say he's wrong and he's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he didn't take it serious.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he was saying it for weeks that this isn't going to be shit. There's 7 people with it, and there's not going to be anybody else, and whatever. And
right, why are we denying that? That's all I'm saying, bro. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about Trump. I think he's funny, and he cracks me up. And super respect for a guy that was never a politician to be able to be the most powerful seat, but he's not really a leader, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To me.
My wife was like, do you think he's had it, and he's kind of sabotaging himself with this shit? And I'm like, no, because I don't think, from what I've read and seen of his personality, like, even if he's fed up with the big seat, right, he doesn't want to lose an election. He never wants to lose anything. So that's just his personality or whatever. But it's tough to see those press conferences and read articles where he's predicting this miraculous comeback. And it's like, dude, it's not realistic. You sound stupid. You sound stupid right now. But
yeah.
I want to ask you a question. Do you do meal prep?
Yep.
You do. Okay, well, Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. And they help you fuel fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with a healthy lifestyle. So if you do meal prep and you're too busy with your end-of-summer goals to cook, want to make sure you're eating well, with Factor, you can skip the trip to the grocery store, the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning up, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, and all you have to do is heat and enjoy and get back to crushing your goals. You can choose from 34-plus weekly flavor-packed, dietitian-approved meals ready to eat in 2 minutes. Level up with the Gourmet Plus options. You can treat yourself to upscale meals with premium ingredients like broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, and asparagus. If you're too busy running around all the day to think about lunch, you can keep your energy up with the Lunch to Go. It's effortless, wholesome meals like grain bowls and salad toppers. And they're ready to eat when you're on the go, no microwave required. And if you're looking for calorie-conscious options, you can try delicious dietitian-approved calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. And if you need an extra boost to support your wellness goals and feel your best for the rest of the summer, try Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein plus or more per serving. And you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45-plus add-ons, including breakfast items like the apple cinnamon pancakes. You're a big fan of these, the bacon and cheddar egg bites. And they have also potato bacon and egg breakfast skillets. Or for an easy wellness boost, try refreshing beverage options like cold-pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. So with Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice you're into that, they offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for the production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in the meals. So get back and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals, enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. Bro, you won't believe how many girls at our club like use Factor. Like Factor's like, when you see meal prep at our club, like, you see the Factor meals. All these girls eat Factor meals. It's crazy. So head to factormeals.com/K1050 and use code K1050 to get 50% off. It's ridiculous. That's code K100F50 at factormeals.com. That's FactorMeals.com/K150 to get 50% off. You got to give it a try at that price.
Bro, this thing's ridiculously good, and here's the reason why for me. Because besides all the reasons that Disco said, you don't got to go to the store and pick up the things, it's already there, you don't have to really cook it. Bro, they prep it and they send it and they put it in this cooler with all these ice packs in it. So it comes really, really fresh. And I'm going to tell you one thing I really love. They have this black pepper and sage pork chop, bro. And it's not like a thin little pork chop that you get. It's a thick southern style pork chop. And it's absolutely delicious. They have a chorizo chili. So they got everything you can imagine. Right.
And I think you'd see, if you saw the, I was putting my order in for this week, D.I., there in the Gourmet Plus, there's a filet mignon and shrimp, roasted garlic filet and shrimp, which I'm very much looking forward to getting, considering how good all the other stuff's been.
All right. So, you know, get your meal prep on. Stay healthy. Check out Factor Meals. Boom.
Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up. Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport App says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
I want to bring something up to you guys because I had this discussion with Mark Madden. And because it was such a good discussion, I had it with Russo. I want to have it with you guys, right? So back in like the Philadelphia Flyers won the Stanley Cup in 1975 and 1976. The next 4 years after that, the Montreal Canadiens were the champions. 77, 78, 79, or 74 and 75 Flyers, 76 through 79 Canadiens. Then the Islanders won 4 years in a row, 80 to 84. Joe, why don't you Google this?
Yeah.
Google WWF champions, right? Because like after that, then the Edmonton Oilers won like 6 out of 7 years, okay? Bro, like look at the model. You know, the Steelers were a dynasty. Cowboys were like a dynasty during that period of time. The Yankees, the Reds, you know. How did Vince McMahon book his champions back then?
And let me tell you that.
Go ahead.
Real quick. That was the great thing about back then, that you knew who the champions were, because it was like for a long time it was Bruno, then for, you know, Hogan, and then for, you know what I'm saying? Like back then, I remember champions had it for like 4 or 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Even like the AWA, and it was always Harley Race or Ric Flair or, you know, Briscoe. Go ahead.
Let's start from Buddy Rogers, Joe. Start from like Buddy Rogers in the 60 something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you hear this? This is interesting to think about.
Buddy Rogers. Well, Buddy Rogers only had it for.
I'll just say it. Can you give me the year, Buddy Rogers?
1963.
Okay, who was next?
Hang on, I got to get a better version of the site. But that's when Bruno's first reign started. He squashed Buddy.
For how long? You know, here's what I want. How long has it been, length of time? And who's next?
Yeah, give me one sec.
So Buddy had it April 11, 63, and then Bruno won it May 17, 63. So Buddy had it for.
Who beat him first? Koloff?
Koloff beat him 6.5 years later.
Okay, bro, 6.5 years.
Seven and a half.
Guys on top. 7.5 years. Okay, then Koloff, then Pedro, then Stasiak.
Yeah.
Then I think Bruno again, right?
Bruno again.
Yeah. For how long? Because those were short.
4 years.
Four years.
Then it was who?
Superstar.
Yeah, Billy Graham for
Superstar
about a year.
Billy Graham. And then who be Superstar Graham? Bob Backlund. Bob Backlund for how long?
Five years, almost six years. That's when he lost the title to Sheik.
So look at the way they booked the champion back then, right? But here was the model, just like the way Shale was talking, okay? There was a respect for the business, a suspension of disbelief. People thought it was real and stuff and things because they thought the guys were really fighting, right? They thought it was real. So how did they book this? Basically, what you had was you had the champion, okay, who's the champion, and he's like the hero and everything, and you had the biggest asshole guys you could imagine were these heel managers who were just like literally the most unlikable guys that you could find. The Grand Wizard was always yelling. Lou Albano, always yelling. Who else? Freddie Blassie. Yeah. And they'd always bring in their guy, who they were so good at their job, and they were such assholes and unlikable that the fans despised these guys so much that there was no way that they wanted to be their hero. And, bro, and these guys would convince you, because their promos are so good, because they were so unlikable, they would convince you that their guy, that your hero is in trouble. And what happened in the matches? They would get beat down. You know, they get beat down. They get bloody, you know. So, and they just come boom, boom, and fight back and pin the guy and get the pop. And for years and years and years and years and years and years, because you're selling a fight. You're selling the bad guy versus the good guy, and you have legit heat because, bro, the heel managers never did one single thing to get people to like, right? That's a successful formula. And that formula has not proven ever to really be unsuccessful. But still, we drifted away from that formula at the expense of we don't look like the guys are fighting anymore. And nobody is an asshole that the people dislike. It's like you're taking two major elements out of professional wrestling, but you're still trying to sell the same product. And that's why, like, even in WCW, because WCW and WWE during that time, during the Attitude Era, even though everything was amped up, characters, and then the WWE became the cartoon age where the characters are kind of over the top and stuff, but nobody really strayed away from the basic principles of the wrestling matches in that they were a lot of punching, fighting, had pretty simplistic because you were still selling the guys, even though they're characters, they're still mad enough and got enough heat with each other, going to go in there and fight each other, right? And even in the Attitude Era, and even during our time, okay, we were very more simple in the matches because, you know, even when the luchadors came in, the luchadors didn't go apeshit like these guys do these days. You know, like they came in, they were working with us, the American. So it was a pretty, here's the best thing about the luchas making their debut in WCW, like everything, is we had the best wrestlers, the best indie wrestlers on the planet were like on TV. And now that they're coming in, they're working against the best guys. They don't have to like come in to the United States and wrestle all these indie guys and stuff and just do, you know, they're wrestling us. We were all on TV. We were the best of the best in the country at the time because we were the television stars. And we had a very basic way we worked. The one thing we noticed was, is like when these guys came in, they'd wrestle each other and you'd be like, it'd pique your interest because you're like, oh, I could do some good stuff with this guy. I could do some of his spots, but it's like, I'm not going to go out there and do that match. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we got to, this American style, we got to, you know what I'm saying? Cause like the luchadors would, like you said, a perfect lucha match is lucha. It's not a lot of selling. It's not, but these guys were so good that Conan brought, they learned very, very quickly. You got to look like you can fight here. And you got to sell. And it's like, and so all the guys that we brought in, Ray, you know, everybody could throw punches. And they look tough. Even Hubie's a little prick, but he wrestles tough. You know, he chops the shit out of you. So he does, you know? All those guys had that. That to me is the one thing that's missing in wrestling because you still look at all that. And you just say to guys, it's like, guys, look, I know this is old school stuff. I know this is simple, but then what Chael is saying too is like you're cutting promos out there, and you're cutting promos, and you're not going out there like you know, wrestling a match like Bruno and Larry Zbysko where there's a lot of heat. You guys are fighting, trying to beat the piss out of each other and kill each other. You guys are going out there after you're cutting these promos, and you're doing a performance with each other, and that's that's what I think is the missing element. Even though I'm old school, I say it, but you look back in history, it's never not worked. You sell a fight and you go out there, and if you look like you can fight, you try to beat the guy up. But now it's like we're in this thing of like wrestling today is like, oh, this is going to be a great match with these guys because they got a good spot. It's like we really need to look at doing a 180, keeping all the stuff that we're doing good that works right now and going back towards the style we worked and keeping the stuff that basically, you know, because, bro, it's like wrestling's too busy. There's too many spots in every single match. There's too many things going on. So that the Orange Cassidy match. They didn't do a lot of spots, a lot of selling stuff. You know, they did a lot of crowd reaction. But we need to get back to that. You know, then because when people turn on television and they turn on the wrestling match, like Chael Sonnen does, he did it 4 months ago. He kept, it's like, I watched Raw, it was terrible. He did 4 months later. I don't even know why I watched Raw. And the visual product looks the same to him. You guys are cutting promos talking about fighting, but you're not going out there doing anything resembling fighting. But what do you guys think of that?
Do you think Cody kind of is bringing some of that back with his
program? Of course he is. He never worked that style. He's always worked a basic American style. Now he's still, bro, the thing with him, it's funny because he's trying to get over with this fan base and now he's got a scar above his eye. You know what I'm saying? Because he tried to do that dive out the thing. And bro, it's like he doesn't have to do that. Bro, work the way you work. Your character is over enough. You don't have to do the flips and the moonsault off the top of the cage to try to pop these guys. You know, it's like you don't have to. You're getting over not doing that, you know? And it's just like these guys, they look in there, they have not figured out that the things that get the reactions more than anything are working your gimmick and working the crowd and cutting a good promo. Because if you weren't good, your matches and your spots are lost in the show because everybody else is doing a million other ones, you know?
And if you see what Cody has done in AEW, his first program was with his brother, with Goldust, with Dustin, sorry. Then he went over with Jericho. Then he went over with MJF. Now he's going to do something with Lance Archer. It's not with guys that are going to give you 5-6-star matches with the style of Ospreay and Ricochet. It's more with the, like, Meltzer gave 5 stars to that match, Dustin against Cody. He's going to give high praise to whatever they do with Archer if it's a program that deserves it, but he's doing like mostly with his microphone work, with his matches not being a spot fest, but being every moment of the match making it worth something, making it
there's nothing wrong with, like, that's funny because there's nothing wrong with it being a spot fest, and those are one of the things that makes him stick out. He's working the crowd, he's the timing, he's letting the match breathe. The same thing we saw with Pac and Orange Cassidy. You know, that was well structured where everybody was selling and Pac was working the crowd and you know what I'm saying? And it was slowed down and you could understand and could digest it. You could become emotionally invested. It's hard to become emotionally invested when everybody's going back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. But like I said, every match ain't going to be the same. Some matches are your video game match. One's a storyline match. One's a lucha match. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, that's what's getting Glenn is absolutely correct. He's 1,000 correct in that he doesn't have to do dives and he doesn't have to do that flip off the top, which I think he broke his toe or some shit. But, you know, but he's trying to get over this fan base when he's already over by telling good stories and cutting good promos and having those good, rough Southern style matches.
And my point is, go watch the long history of the WWE and their champions and stuff, I think, and look at what the top guys did.
Yeah, no,
they didn't have to. They were that over. They all looked like they could fight. You know?
What's old is new. What's old is new. Go back to 40, 50 years ago, and a lot of people haven't seen that stuff. Use some of it. Look good. It's like the revival. Those guys say that they spend a lot of time seeing old school tag team wrestling to go with their stuff, and they were great in NXT, and then the main roster, they just screwed them over. I can't wait to see those guys in AEW because they're old school wrestlers in this era.
Konnan.
Yo, what up?
Do you remember the classic physiques, like the old school bodybuilders of the golden era, like in Venice Beach in the 70s?
Yeah, like Frank Zane and Perigno and Arnold and Draper and all those guys.
Yeah, 50 years on, and we're still looking at those guys as a gold standard. And you know what's crazy? They didn't have creatine, pre-workout, fat burners, like a lot of the other popular supplements you see today. But one supplement, I did not know this, they all used was desiccated liver.
because it's packed with amino acids for muscle growth, vitamins and minerals for health and immunity, but it's also proven to cause a huge increase in red blood cells, which means you recover quicker, have more endurance, and get better pumps. That is why I consider it a must for all these iconic bodybuilders. Our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition have just added desiccated liver from grass-fed cows to their world-class supplement lineup, but they've also gone a step further and introduced Essential Alpha, a grass-fed beef organ complex. Pound for pound, beef organs are the most nutritious food available, particularly for active men. That's a shoot, because liver is the healthiest thing you can eat. And Legacy believes in celebrating masculinity and maximizing male potential. Legacy, as you know, is owned and operated by Nick on probation, Aldis. And let me tell you, I talked to him about this, and he is super excited to finally be able to bring this to the market. And they've been working on the formula for a while, and he's been really singing the praises of this stuff. And can you ever think of a time when he wasn't ever in shape? I mean, if you're looking for a perfect supplement to help you build muscle, have more energy, and boost your immune system, and bring out your inner alpha, then you need to try Essential Alpha. Available right now at LegacySubs.com, and always use the code K100. Gets you 10% off and to help support this show. That's LegacySupps.com, and use the code K100 at checkout. And I'm a big fan of liver, and I'm definitely going to start using this product.
The great thing about Legacy Subs, which, boy, they've been with us that long because people keep buying their shit. Or if not, they wouldn't be throwing no ads on our show. People like their products. We, all of us, use their products. They have everything. Anything that you can imagine, the list is too long, but anything to help you with your brain power, pre-workout, protein drinks. I mean, they, from the A to the Z. And the great thing for the females out there, they have a supplement line just for females, which is curated by his wife, Mickey James. So check either one of them out, you know, get your supplements on Legacy Subs. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What did you like Brody Lee as being the leader of the, what are they called?
That could be a hidden gem because you never know. It's like one of those guys that like, was in a faction or never got enough mic time. And it's like, what if the guy cuts a good promo? And it's like, oh, we never knew this because we never got a chance. And like, you know, that's it, bro. His deal is if this guy can't cut a good promo, that gimmick is the shits.
Yeah, because
the
exalted
one has to be the talker of the group and the leader,
and
you know?
So it's like, if he look, yeah. got a good, crazy,
does have a good look.
Manson, Harry Ruiz.
That group stinks.
Nothing.
But if he can talk good, he'll get over. you know?
Did you guys hear the dig at Vince McMahon that Brody Lee got in?
Yeah.
The pro?
No, what'd he say?
He said, you're not going to be the first out-of-touch old man to misjudge me or something like that.
Yeah, that's...
I was like, oh,
that's an under... Bro, that he should just... I mean, come on. Bro, if you're the exalted one in AEW, don't even reference WWE. You know what I'm saying? This is just a completely new character for you, completely new company. Don't be, if you got to feel like you got to take a shot at them,
they'll like, sneak in those little things for their hardcore fan base to pop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's unnecessary. You know.
Also,
it's an unnecessary thing. It's like, who did you pop on that? You know?
If you watch the like thing on TV.
Harry, the best revenge is massive success. Boom.
Exactly. AEW screwed up in live TV because they were showing a shot from inside the arena, the place that hosted this, Daily's place. They had a wide shot of SCU watching the big screen and the video package. And then Brody Lee just walks out during the video package, like towards the ring, and the shot was open. And then they immediately switched to the full screen with the video package, and it's like, oh shit, someone just walked out. Who was that? And then you see the what he was wearing, and it's like, oh fuck, okay, he's gonna be in the ring, right? And then they just switch back to the ring.
Harry, you want to tell me, you want to know exactly what happened there?
What's up?
So you have a producer and director in the truck. You got a guy at the go position with the wrestler to give him his cue, right?
Yeah.
Somebody screwed up in there. Either the producer, the director, or the guy giving the cue either sent the guy too early, or they gave the guy the Iggy to give him the cue too early, and he walked out, or the director didn't change the shot. That's what happened there. Yeah, it's an honest mistake, but that's a very simplistic mistake to make, you know?
And they need – they're new. They're not even a year in on TV, but that's kind of stuff that you know WWE isn't going to make that kind of mistake. So I'm going to give him a pass, but when I saw it, I was like, shit, did I just see that? I put the DVR back, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I did see that. And they actually tweeted that video, and then they took it down a minute later and then put the whole video package how it was edited instead of how it aired live on TV.
Cool. Who do we have next week, Joe?
I'm not sure yet, but Jim Ross will be the following week.
Do this. See if they're both willing to do it with each other. I want to get Jim Ross and Chael Sonnen on here at the same time and have like a round table with those guys. So you see if you can make that happen. I think they'd be interested, you know?
I don't have any contact for Chael except his website, if anyone has that.
You do? How was he on our show before?
I wasn't on at that time.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
Oh, I'll try to find out. All right. Well, that's enough for this week. Harry, you got extra bonus content there. You got a private discussion on the Chael Sonnen and comments.
Yeah.
I'll put my Patreon a little higher this month as a token of appreciation.
I don't watch very much wrestling unless they come to town and I can go live. I enjoy it when it's live and it's about every 2 years in Portland. You get a little bit of a kick out of it. But, I mean, what a piece of crap. I watch that every now and then just to remind myself what garbage it is. And I don't really have any idea why they can't seem to figure it out over there. It's as simple as they don't know how to write stories. They start guys and then they stop guys. They can't get the fans behind it. Look, Vince McMahon had an interest in buying the UFC. And he was going to buy, this is right when the Fox deal came out. Vince had come to the table with a number. And he wasn't going to go higher, and Fox went higher, and they got it. But Vince was just going to get it and shut it down. And he was even in an argument with his own son, Shane McMahon, who wanted to take it, and Shane wanted to run it. He was a big wrestling, or a big fight fan. This is the way that the story is told. I certainly wasn't, but I believe the story to be true. Everything seems in line. And Vince was a suitor for it, that I can confirm. But Vince's idea was buy it and shut it down. It's on pay-per-view. They're a direct competitor. Let's just get rid of this. Shane had a different idea of no, I want to run it. That was a little bit of a dispute, but Vince is very well known for coining the phrase that you cannot build a champion. You cannot build a star unless you can control the outcomes. He's famous for that, but he's starting and stopping guys nonstop. He's starting storylines, and then he's stopping storylines. He has the ability, through the power of the pen and the eraser on the other side, to do whatever he wants. They can't get a good story. So Monday Night Raw the other night, I'm glad I watched. they had absolutely no show because it's rotten garbage over there, and they're hanging their hat on the idea of we don't have any talent, which is baffling to me. How you would not have talent when you don't even need it? It's not real. It's not an actual... What do you mean you don't have talent? You don't have guys that can do Hurricane Carranas and DDTs? What do you mean you don't have talent? Your problem is the storyline sucks. So for Monday Night Raw, here's what they did. Okay, look, we're calling it in. We're sailing it in. We have nothing to do. We're going to bring in every star in the history of wrestling from Stone Cold to Ric Flair and everybody in between. We're just going to like let them make cameos all night long. Great. I bet the ratings did great. I tuned in just to see it. I wanted to hear the glass break. I want to see Stone Cold walk out, see what happened next. See the whole thing. See if Jake the Snake shows up. See if the Honky Tonk Man's there. I don't know what's going to go on. I love the idea. I got it. But that's sailing it into the highest of levels, and it is a little bit confusing to me. It is a little bit confusing to me that the chairman, Vince McMahon, is letting the writers tell him, well, we don't have any talent. You don't have any talent? It's not real. You want to go out there and put on matches that don't look like a fight. They do not look competitive. They look as though the guys are cooperating with each other. Because guess what? The guys are cooperating. We understand that. But that does not go in line with the promos and the interviews and the t-shirts and the signs and the 80% of the show that you spend trying to get us to buy into this is the good guy versus this is the bad guy. Into buying in that these two who are buddies behind the scene have actual heat. That's the entire business. So if you've let down the fourth curtain, as I'm well aware they have since 1989, I get it. I know the whole story. I know about the trial. I know about Vince being sworn in under oath. I know the entire story. But so many people that like to be the smart marks to go, well, chill, this isn't really competitive, and let's just see an athletic contest and see who's crazier and see who can climb up the highest rope and do the most flips before they crash through a table. That doesn't go hand in hand with then trying to do 80% of the show, I might add, storylines of building heat. Never in the history of wrestling, which has done a great business, by the way. Could you imagine anybody coming out and telling you, hey, by the way, this is all fake? And then evoking an emotion from the crowd anyway? Selling out an arena? Having somebody buy a t-shirt on the way out and having some people leave in tears because they didn't get the outcome that they wanted to? All while telling them? This is make-believe. It's a fascinating business. But you can't have 80% of your product trying to build heat. They have never in the history of wrestling have two guys backstage and go, hey, we're buddies, and we rode here together, and we got a match tonight, and let's go out and entertain the crowd. Okay, great. Your music, my music, let's shake hands. Everything's wonderful, and we wrestle back and forth. It doesn't work that way. Nobody wants to see it. The entire business is built around heat. So if the matches are fake, obviously the heat is fake. So the entire skill there is to make us believe, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We're more than willing as fans to suspend reality. We have seen movies before. We have turned on television before. We're well aware that this is a performance. This isn't real. We get it. We're on board. But it's still then meant to look as though it's conflict with conflict resolution, which is said match. Somebody's dreams are going to be dashed and somebody is going to be propelled. You want to see the guy that you don't like be held back and the guy that you're cheering for move up the ladder. That's what it is. That's what it used to be. There used to be actual discussions about actual actually intelligent people debating the topic back and forth. Is this real? But the only reason that worked wasn't because Vince McMahon went on trial in 1989 and some scumbag asked him the question just to be a jerk and ruin the whole thing while he's under oath. It wasn't just that. It was because the moves that they used looked real. That's what you'd actually do in a fight. You'd walk out and punch somebody in a fight. When you get tired of punching him, you kick him in the stomach. That looked real. And then after you do that a few times, you're going to grab a headlock and just hold it so you can catch a breather. That looked real. And maybe you'd slam him. Maybe you do something in the ropes, or maybe you give him a close-up. That all looked real. Hitting a triple flip off the top rope while the guy lays staged for you does not look real. Hulk Hogan used to get teased. He didn't know the difference between a wrist lock and a wristwatch. I think Bobby Heenan or Gorilla Monsoon said that about Hulk Hogan. And it was true because he didn't go out there. He didn't wrestle. He didn't go out and do these large sequences back and forth. He came out there like a brute that was billed at 6'7" with 24-inch pythons from Venice Beach, California. He evoked an emotion from the crowd. He made you believe that he was the good guy. And whoever he was taking on must be some representative of evil. And he was going to overcome that. Wearing the cross and blessing himself and talking about your vitamins and your prayers and whatever the shtick was. And it didn't matter if he'd hit you with a right hand in the face and one boot to the chops before he covered you for the 1-2-3. He could sell out any arena in the world. And now people want to learn how to be really great wrestlers. What does that mean? To do a four-spot sequence? To tell a story during the match? To drag it on and on? It either looks like something you would see in a real fight between two guys who are allegedly going out there to pin or submit each other, or it doesn't. And to say that you don't have any talent when 80% of it is talking and 20% of it is the match? What do I even call it? The match? That's a cop-out to the highest of levels. This is entertainment. Make your show. Make me believe it. The whole thing's based on evoking an emotion. Do it or don't. And right now, that rotten garbage for about the fourth year in a row is not.
Conan, guess what?
What's up?
It's time to unleash the beach beast within you. Oh. Know what that means? It means this summer, Manscaped is here to help you level up your beach game with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. They're going past waist deep in the grooming game and diving in headfirst to your facial hair fantasy. The Beard Hedger is a game changer, allowing you to shape your beard like a true beach babe. So this summer, let the beach balls bounce and turn heads all over the place. Visit manscaped.com and use the code K100 for 20% off and free shipping. So here's the deal. It's time to tame your mane, okay? A lot of people have trouble with facial hair. They don't like to shave. So why not go for it and let's try the beard. Say goodbye to all the stubble trouble with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. It all starts with the Beard Hedger. First off, this cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lanes all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. You don't have to have all the guards and everything. Right. A million products. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that, right? Plus it's waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid all that hair in the sink. And the titanium-coated T-blade is tough in the hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. And it doesn't end there, because they've created four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. Okay, first there is the beard shampoo and conditioner that comes with this. And you remember, all your hair is different. Your beard hair is more coarse and easier to damage than the hair on your head, obviously. And that's why the kit has made shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replace natural oils and promote beard health. Next, the kit has Manscaped Beard Oil. This helps relieve dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine. And cap off the kit with the Beard Balm, a pomade that shapes, styles, moisturizes, and tames for a sculpted look to attract any fellas or dames. Look, with all these products, if you don't have an on-point beard after a few weeks, that's got to be on you. Because the Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts, a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. And you know, this is the year 2023. Beards are in. The chicks like beards. But they don't like sloppy, ugly beards. They like well-groomed beards. So get 20% off and free ship with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code K100. That's the Manscaped Beard Hedger, one stroke, one guard, and 20 lengths at manscaped.com.
Yeah, this is our best-selling product, and there's a reason why. It's high quality and it works. Now they've got everything from... I can guarantee you these are the most comfortable briefs, boxers that you'll ever wear. Incredible. You wouldn't think that, you know, a shaving company would come up with something this sweet, but they did. And they've got everything from deodorant, the weed whacker for your hair and your nose hairs and your ears. They got shampoo, they got conditioner, they got a body wash.
I mean, they got everything so you can feel fresh, be clean, smell good. They even got cologne. I mean, these guys just bring it. And they got a really sweet leather toiletry bag that doesn't look cheap or look like, you know, that you can bring it to you when you travel or stay over somewhere. It's just, you know, top of the line any way you cut it. So, you know, keep your groom on, you know, look clean, look presentable, smell clean for job interviews, just to go out in public. I know that's a big issue with wrestling fans, their hygiene's not that great. This can help you. Go check out Manscaped. Boom.
You're in Jacksonville right now, Frankie?
I'm in Jacksonville right now. Yeah, I got it.
Are they basically, I mean, the government's telling us all to home, everybody stay home, but like, this is my thing. I was going back and forth on somebody on Twitter. It's like, sports going forward should not be that difficult if you're doing it in front of no fans. You take the talent, you put them in the hotel the night before, you test them. The test takes like 12, you go the next day, get the test back. If you're not tested, you can't leave the room. And it's just, and everybody that tests clean, it's like, you take the people from the hotel to the venue, and then like, and then when they go home, they go home and they stay home.
Yeah. You know? I mean, selfishly, I agree, man. I would like sports and everything to get back on track. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be a while, but you know, I think this is going to make athletes appreciate fans and fans appreciate athletes even more going forward, you know, because of like I, for one, I'm a huge baseball guy. Like I know you guys are. I was really looking forward to the start of the season, and now I'm kind of like, it just, you know, and we're right in the middle of basketball.
The Angels look good this year.
Yeah, your team got way better.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. We got a good coach, and yeah, we got some players. So, but, you know, it's going to, this too shall pass. That's what everyone needs to remember. Everything's going to be cool. Just going to, you know, maybe be a while.
Do you live in Anaheim?
No. I'm out in the desert. I'm out by Joshua Tree, Yucca Valley, Palm Springs area. I'm about an hour and 20 minutes from Anaheim.
Do you have a kid?
Yeah, I have my son, 7-year-old boy.
I was going to say, if you had a daughter, Mike Trout just had a kid. So you maybe just want to try and, like, you know.
Mike Trout's going to have a kid in August. I saw
that. Right.
He's going to have a kid in August, yeah.
Yeah, like all the people in the Anaheim area, they're having, oh, we got to have a kid. So we
yeah.
We got, like, everybody might trust school district. It's like trying to, like, have kids now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully it's cool, right? It's like, geez.
Do you follow the Dodgers or no? Or just no,
I'm an Angel guy. I'm an Angel guy. I follow the Dodgers, but I don't necessarily cheer for them. I guess if I had to pick a de facto National League team to cheer for, it would be them. But I actually prefer the Giants in that division. But yeah, I'm an Angel guy. I'm an Angel fan.
Bro, I went to an Anaheim game they had against the Red Sox. What an old stadium, bro. They need to seriously upgrade that place.
And they made it look, they did a complete revamp when Disney owned it, and they made it look like it's a nice stadium. I like it. But yeah, it is. It's been around since the 60s. It's very old.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, too, because they're drawing from that. Isn't that weird? Dodger Stadium, Anaheim Stadium are kind of older stadiums.
They're not very nice.
And then they're drawing that the market's a lot of, like, especially Anaheim. You got that Huntington Beach, Newport Beach money, you know, something. Yep. they have to come in this. You would think it's like, you know, these rich folks would want to come to, like, a super nice place, you know, like all these other cities are doing with these multi-billion-dollar facilities these stadiums are building, you know.
Well, I think the Angels, like, there was a story where they just re-upped their lease with the city, and they're looking to, I think, like, I'd heard they're looking at somewhere in Long Beach to maybe build another stadium in the future, which would, you know, be nice. Cause yeah, I mean, and that stadium, remember, got converted cause that's where the Rams used to play. So that used to be one of the baseball/football stadiums back in the '80s. Cause I would go to Rams games there.
Bro, and I can only imagine the monster that guy's making for the new Charger stadium.
Oh God.
Yeah. That's going to be ridiculous, bro.
Yep.
Super ridiculous.
Let's talk some sports here. Do you see that Tom Brady now
is with the Colts?
No. Phil Rivers signed with the Colts.
Phillip Rivers, I'm sorry.
The thing about this coronavirus is, like, the NFL free agent series has been crazy.
Look how many quarterbacks are on the free agency.
We signed Marcus Mariota. Which is the one of we, but the Raiders. But I'm a still Falcons team. I'm talking about once again. But we signed Marcus Mariota. And the rumor is that Brady's going to Tampa Bay to play with those receivers and Bruce Arians. You know,
those are some good receivers.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. We were just talking about how Meltzer when he calls us, he still has to call his house phone. Like, he has a house phone. You know, Conan still reads the newspaper. You know, he actually reads the newspaper. What are some old school things that you do, like, still that you're kind of behind? Like, I was telling him, Mark Madden still has the flip phone. You know, there's still a couple of guys in business have it. What do you still have that's kind of an old school thing that you haven't given up?
An old school thing that I haven't given up. I mean, I still, same thing. Like, I still read the paper, especially when I'm on the road.
The newspaper.
I'll pick up a paper, like a USA Today, if I'm like in the Sky Club or something.
So like, you're right, because you go to the airport.
Right.
You don't know if the TV doesn't work on the plane or something. You have to have the paper there in case, like, just right. Yeah.
And I still actually enjoy, like, there's a couple magazines I enjoy getting, and like, I know magazines are pretty archaic at this point, but like, you know, I like to always have a couple magazines with me. I mean, like you said, in case there's instances where like I'm at a podcast or I'm out of music to listen to, or there's nothing, TV isn't working. And I still watch the news. I mean, I still watch the news. A lot of people just rely on like Twitter for news. Like, I still watch, you know, my local news every morning, the LA news and everything. Like,
I want to ask both of you this. I want to ask you and Conan, since you guys still travel regularly for a living, because I don't anymore. So, like, I've been not traveling for a living for 11 years now. Okay.
Yeah.
Still travel, but not for a living. What do you guys, what electronic devices do you bring on the plane with you? Like, what do you have on the plane? Like when you travel, say it's a long, it's a two hour plus flight. What do you have? What do you bring?
So me, if I can go first, I only fly Delta. So, I always have my wireless headphones. I have my iPhone and, sometimes my iPad, but usually I'll just listen to a podcast or listen to music or watch one of the selections, one of the movies. You know, Delta is it gives me a good chance to there's movies that when they come out and I see them advertised, I always go, that's a good plane movie. Meaning I won't go see it in the theater, but if I catch it on a flight, cool.
Let me ask you this. When you're in your seat, if you have a Bluetooth head device, does it connect to the TV thing in front of you on the plane?
To plug in the external, the cord.
No, you have to do the plug-in, but still. Yeah. All right, cool. So you got your headphones, you can listen to whatever you've got. But and do you use your headphones if you have your iPad and you're going to watch, or do you still use the plug-in headphones for that?
Yeah, I used to use my Bluetooth. I'll just hook up the Bluetooth.
Right. And it works in the air, huh? I guess, yeah.
Works great.
What about you, Conan?
I just do usually one of two things. I'm either reading, or if not, I'm writing down ideas for, like, angles or promos or cards that I want to do in the future. So those are the two things I usually do.
Well, I do a Bloody Mary.
I'll do that too. Just on my iPhone, I'll write down ideas.
I don't watch anything on planes. I sleep. Like to this day, because I traveled so much in my life that when I get on a plane, even all these years later.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
If I sit it, I could be wide awake and have coffee in me, right? As soon as I recline the seat, literally within 2 minutes, my eyes close, whether I'm tired or not. And my eyes close, I just go to sleep. Just because that's all I did back in the day, we used to travel in the mornings. You know, everybody would be getting a drink before the, you know, taking a couple somas, drinking a Bloody Mary, and we just sleep. You know, it's just like, and we just all got used to that. To this day, I don't even have to take anything. I just said, get on the plane. I'm tired. I'm asleep. You know,
I try that because I normally just take red eye flights, so I like to sleep also because I'm
I love the red. Drunk. Yeah, that's the best thing. If you can sleep on planes, there ain't nothing wrong with living on the West Coast. Because those red eyes are like, that's it.
The best flight to sleep on is the red eye because they turn off all the lights.
All the lights
are down. It is on.
And if you get lucky enough, and here's what I always do. This is key. This is the key to travel. Going to tell people's secret. I guess a lot of people like to wear the, because guys, if you're neck sore and everything, I can understand wearing the pillow around your head. But when I come in, when I fly, I used to get the window seat because I like to lean against the seat. And I take my pillow, I take my shoes off, I put the pillow in front of me. If your feet are comfortable, trust me, you sleep better. If your feet are comfortable, you sleep better. And I would suggest try it, see if you like it and everything, but that's how I still fly in planes, and I've been for years. If my feet are comfortable and just lean my head against the thing, I'm fine. I'm out like a light.
Yeah. I usually have heat with the dude that's just next to me. He takes his shoes off. I usually shoot him a dirty look, but you're right, man. Like I do that. I will do that. Like on long flights, like Australia.
You have to. Right. Yeah.
K100 with Conan and Disco is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Conan.
What up?
I think you would agree that sometimes in life we're faced with tough choices and the path forward isn't always clear. Whether you're dealing with decisions around your career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. So trust yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. Now, you in the past have had mental health issues. Has therapy helped you with that?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with a mental health issue at 16 by a psychiatrist. So there was kind of a stigma if you were a male back then to have mental health or talk about it. But the great thing about going to one of these specialists is a lot of stuff that I had was from my childhood, and you know, they find you, they help you find the root of your problems. They help you navigate through them. I highly recommend a mental health therapist if you're having any problems, issue with mental health. Just talking to somebody sometimes and them having you see stuff that maybe you haven't figured out yet will help you get through a lot of your issues.
I just want to say real quick that I've, you know, gone back and forth as far as therapy for a while. Like I, you know, had to try it in my teens, similar to Conan, and I didn't really like it. So, but recently, you know, people have advised me, check it out. And I actually found BetterHelp before they ever worked with this show. And if you're someone like me that isn't necessarily thrilled about going to the therapist's office, or with BetterHelp, you get matched up with a therapist that matches your needs, and you can communicate with them via text or video call or phone call, anything you want. So it's just very convenient. I've worked with two different guys and they've both been excellent. So
what did you find out about yourself that you didn't know before that you've applied and it has helped you feel more mentally fit?
You'll like this one. Other people's praise is too important to me, so I got to work on that. Right. You believe that?
No, not at all. That doesn't sound like any type. Yeah.
All right, so anybody out there, if you're thinking of starting therapy, as you've heard, right, Joe's trying to give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/K100 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/K100 for 10% off your first month. Give them a try.
Call a therapist. Get your mental health right. Boom.
I watched this thing yesterday from Edward Snowden, right?
I like how you're ready to believe conspiracy theories, but you think Donald Trump can do no wrong. That's
I never said no. Never said that.
Let me ask you a question, Disco. To you, was Edward Snowden a patriot or a traitor?
I don't know, man. Did you hear him on Joe Rogan?
No. When was this?
Oh, great, great. Maybe, what, a month or two ago? 2 months ago? Yeah. Great interview. A
couple months.
And but the guy, it sounds like, it's like if you get aggravated listening to me on this show, you're going to get aggravated listening to Edward Snowden because the guy loves to talk more than I do, if you can believe that.
I can't.
I don't. I don't know. I don't know. I always wonder, like, you know, like the NSA, like, you know, civil liberties and spying on cities, you know, spying. But it's like, you can't ignore that, you know, there might be some good that comes out of some of those situations where we're spying on people. It's like they're people pose an imminent threat and stuff. I mean, you know, I watch Homeland. You watch that show and you just get that whole show is about. It's about the NSA, you know, Homeland Security, NSA, spy stuff, turning people onto your side, and just, and that all goes on. And it's like, you watch Homeland and Carrie Masterson, the chick on the show, that they break these laws all the time. But the way they tell the story is ultimately the end goal was correct. They did it for the righteous reasons. So
Have you ever noticed that the people that are so worried about the government reading their Facebook and shit, these are people that don't have none going on anyway?
Right, nothing. I'm not hiding anything. You know?
It was a conversation at once. Yeah, go ahead.
If the government looked at my phone, they'd be like, man, this guy watches a lot of wrestling, reads a lot of comic books, he's a bit of a pervert, and that would be the end of the conversation. I don't give a shit what they see in there.
Well, here's the thing.
It's always the people, too, that are worried about martial law. Those are the ones doing shit that would cause martial law. Yeah. They're the ones running to the beach going, they ain't going to take my freedoms. You're the ones that make that shit happen by doing that.
Yeah.
And there's no money in martial law anyway. There's no money in martial law.
Yeah. It's opened
up
a lot of...
We're all locked up at home and we can't do shit. There's no money. And the economy shuts down. So they ain't going to do that shit.
It's that whole thing's a double-edged sword, because I used to have this conversation a lot with my stepdad, because he was a private investigator, and he was always like, if you didn't do anything, what the fuck do you have anything to worry about? And I was just, well, bro, it's just an invasion of my privacy. I think they should have to ask if they want to search, you know, a judge say, yeah, you can go search him because you think he's making bombs. But I don't think the government should be indiscriminately just, you know, through Facebook, using all these other social media platforms that you're using just to, you know, connect network or whatever to spy on you. There's just something, I don't know.
I'll tell you what I do disagree with. I think everybody would disagree with this. I don't like people getting our information and selling it to people that are now invading my computer with ads and stuff happens. And everything. You know, like this site, like this artificial intelligence thing that's going on, where I'm, you know, these companies have my information. They've sold it to other companies that are watching what I type and keywords. And the next thing I know, I'm clicking on an ad for freaking whatever.
Yeah,
like, you know, I don't like that.
No,
you know,
just wait for
that actually has made my life better.
Has it really? You don't get the
I'll
feeling
be
that you're being
out. I get the feeling
I'm getting manipulated.
You're going to see an ad.
Well, then that's because you're gullible. I'll be sitting there like looking at ties or something on Instagram or whatever, some website. And then on Instagram, I'll see an ad for some shit that I need. And I go, oh, fuck, there it is.
Yeah.
That's happened a bunch of times.
So I was saying, now
that shit has not made my life worse at all.
Now Disco's going to see an ad for the Ray Donovan box set or something pop up on his phone because he was talking about it earlier.
Bro, I was thinking something the other day. Had nothing related. And the ad popped up on my thing. And I'm like,
it happens.
That's, you know, that's weird. You know, I don't know.
Or like when we found out Alexa was recording, and you know what I'm saying? Or that your computer can film you. You know what I'm saying? You can get hacked and you're being filmed.
Probably.
You know, I have this thing for my house. Look at this. Look, this right here is this thing that, can you see it?
Yes. Your tablet there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically what it shows is like my driveway, my backyard, the side of my house. You know, if anybody's there, but it also has a thing looking back at me. Like, who's looking at me? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're supposed to do this.
Yeah, you're supposed to
cover. Imagine, look at this shit.
I'm showing a piece of black tape.
Yeah.
On the camera. Okay.
Right, my wife has a computer. Yeah.
Bro, let me tell you something. They're like, you heard the snow on that Joe Rogan interview went through a whole thing of like how your phone, even when it's turned off, forget it's not really turned off. It's
And here's the thing, Shane, because here's the only thing I want to say.
Yeah.
What if an employee has access to this? Some scumbag, some pervert, some lowlife, some whatever. And bro, he knows that at certain times you're walking around naked, your wife's walking around naked or whatever, and he's looking through your computer thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Those are the things that worry me. Not so much what's legal and what's good for our security. But the rogue guy, the guy that, you know, is a fucking loser, the guy that don't give a fuck, the guy that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Those type of people. Because if Edward Snowden had access to all that, imagine if Edward wanted to sell that information or he used it for the wrong purposes. You know what I'm saying? Right. Instead, he did it to put us up on game. What if he didn't? What if he was selling this shit to all our enemies?
Conan, do you know what this means?
He might not.
Wrap it up.
He's been doing that for 5 minutes. So. There we go. Shane, you want to do a closing statement?
I'm worried about this, though. After this conversation, I'm listening to Disco, I'm going to get a bunch of ads for horseshit.
That's 1,000% for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be just ads for manure.
For fertilizer.
All over the fucking place. Yeah.
For fertilizer.
What, hey, Shane, where can we find you?
Fucking North Carolina. I ain't going to that anymore.
That's what I was going to say. I was doing my plugs the other day. I was like, wait a second. I don't work anymore. I don't have any wrestling shows anymore. Just like, all I got is Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat now. Those are my plugs at the end.
Wait, did anybody...
Like, dude, I'm growing my fucking beard out. My beard looks like a JoJo's now. But yeah, apparently my beard grows out completely white, and I did not know that.
I shaved mine down. So you got a white beard? You got to post that on the internet.
No, it looks ridiculous.
You know, man. Finally, you got the white beard now. It's just like you're getting like me. You're getting up there.
I tweeted the other day that I look like I belong in a cabin writing a manifesto.
You look like the Unabomber.
Thanks for playing. Is Conan asleep? That was just for you.
Yeah, no, I'm in Iran, bro. I'm just laughing inside. Yo, Shane.
This feels like old times. Like yell at Disco for a minute and then we start laughing again.
How's it going?
Disco. Yeah. Why can't you learn that? Like, ask a question, let the person answer, then just take turns. Why have you not mastered?
My fans don't like it when other people. My fans don't like it when other people talk.
You don't have any fans. People that are your fans are not real people.
My fans don't like other. They like all they hear from me.
He actually has them calling him and actually using this moniker on Twitter. Are you ready for this, Shane? Sure. The superior one.
The superior one.
That is tremendous.
TSO.
Yeah, you're superior one when you're surrounded by a bunch of idiots. But anyways, Shane. Shane, one last thing. You see Raw yesterday?
Yeah.
Is that the one main question that I have for you? Is it hard for you to watch it with no audience, or did you already get used to it?
I'm more used to it now than when it first started, but I don't like wrestling without an audience. I watch UFC without an audience.
Yeah.
Last weekend? That didn't bother me. Matter of fact, it didn't bother me at all.
No.
Pro wrestling is about audience engagement.
Right. That's what I was going to tell you. Well, there's much more audience participation.
We talked about this with Meltzer. And the thing was, like, the reason UFC works is because, first of all, they do a lot of prelims when the arena's empty. But you still have your corner, and they still create noise and ambiance. You know what I'm saying? It's like you hear their reactions. You know, like, you watch old TV tapings. You know, old TV was just in a studio with a couple rows of chairs and the hard camera and, like, one row of chairs on each side, like 50 people in there. But they make noise, you know?
I mean, that might be part of it, but too, if when you're watching MMA, especially if you're a student of the game, you're watching for technique. The audience doesn't affect you. Like, that's the same thing for football, basketball, any other sport. I'm watching the play. I don't care what the fans are doing. I don't give a shit what they're doing. They could be sitting on their ass, and it won't affect the football game for me whatsoever. Pro wrestling, the audience is a huge part of what we do. Two, when I would teach myself in my younger days, I would watch with the volume off because it's distracting. And, you know, when you watch, you'll study people's movement, you'll study their footwork and their technique, you'll learn a lot more with the volume off because you lose that distraction. Because if somebody's over, like, the crowd will pop for some shit they did, even if it sucked. You know what I mean? And vice versa, if somebody's not over, the crowd will, you know, not, might not be doing anything, even though they're technically and mechanically doing some really solid shit. So now you can see, like, holes in the game of some people that are working. So
Plus,
would be covered by audience, looking at the audience or the audience covering it up. But I think
this generation of wrestlers are a lot easier for them to work in front of a crowd because they just figure out all their stuff. They just lay out all their whole match in the back and then go in the ring and do it, and the people are there, right? we used to go out, like I grew up, and like you did too, Shane, you grew up like learning how to call it in the ring, where you would call spots to try to get a crowd pop. And it's like, so it's like, yeah, that formula's out the window because there's no crowd, you know? So it's like old school wrestling, this doesn't work. But like new school, where everything's scripted and stuff and everything, you lay out all the stuff in the back, it's like they can do it. But like I would have had, you know, my matches wouldn't look any good with stuff like this, with no reaction, you know, like doing my gimmick in between the moves. Like, you know?
Yeah, they didn't look good anyway. So imagine
that's
true.
See, that's a true. That is a very. I knew you would say that. I knew. I should have never said that because
well,
I knew
you know why he said that? Because like you keep putting stuff about him, like, oh yeah. Ever since Shane became a producer, the ratings went down, and the crowd. There's no crowds, or people aren't going to
that
the show.
That was a direct response to Shane and Lance Storm, right. who are.
I had to give him credit. That was a solid one.
I did catch the original. I think I just caught the clap back, bro.
Lance Storm tweeted. He's the one that threw. He did a.
No, I did it first. Lance basically said what I said, which I can't remember what it was. It's been like, but, you know, working without crowd reactions, just watch a disco match or some shit like that. Just playing
disco. Disco's used to working with this type of crowd reaction.
So he doubled down on your original fact, Shane.
Yeah, Lance did. Right. Yeah, Lance did.
Right.
But then Disco came and took us both out with one tweet.
Right.
What
I just said ever since the only I go that's not a, the only facts that we see so far is ever since Shane Helms and Lance Storm joined WWE, there's no fans in there in the crowds and WrestleMania's been canceled.
That was a bowling split. You guys were at each corner and he hit both pins. Bye bye. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got to wrap it up because we got Klein Rock before 3 o'clock. We got to do.
All right.
Nobody cares. Yeah, more Shane. More Shane is what you need.
It's a big return. He hasn't been on the show in like months.
That is a big return. And he got a good promo on you, so it was an especially great return.
On me? Or Disco?
No, you on Disco. Especially great return.
Well, let's wrap it up, because we're only going to have like 15 minutes of climb.
You need to wrap it. Your parents should have wrapped it up. And we wouldn't even be in this situation. How about that? Huh?
He's coming at you today.
Jesus.
I give up.
Shane,
yeah,
can you give people your social media, any movie recommendations that are coming up, any series recommendations? Oh, last thing, Khabib or Ferguson?
Oh, man, it's hard to bet against Khabib. I don't want to bet against him. I would love to see Ferguson pull this out, but I ain't putting no money against Khabib. I mean, so I might not bet on this one, period. But, you know, I don't want to bet against Khabib. I think Ferguson's got a great chance. Probably the best chance of anybody we've seen.
Right.
And I would like to see it happen because I like Tony and just, right. I would like to see that upset. But like I say, I like my money more than I like his chances.
Friend of the show, Tony Ferguson.
I think Tony's great, dude. And it would not surprise me at all if he stopped him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, not bro, I feel the same. I feel the same way about you. Tony's such a wild card. He's so different, wild, unorthodox, great conditioning. He's the only guy I think that has a chance against Khabib in that division. Now, Masvidal's not in his division, right? Masvidal in the Colby and Tyrone Woodley division, right?
That's 170.
Yeah, okay. So I would love to see a fight with Masvidal and Khabib.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But you know, once Khabib gets him down, then it'd be really interesting to see Masvidal's run. He has one of the best runs in the fucking last couple of years by far.
Yeah, who's he fighting next? Do you know?
Masvidal. Are they talking about him and Usman or not?
I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the last thing I heard. I can't swear by it, but I feel like that's the last thing I heard.
Yeah, I would love to see that. But
what do you thought about John Jones moving up to heavyweight? You think he needs to?
Because he doesn't have anybody at light heavyweight, does he? Except Dominic Reyes, I mean, and who else?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of cleaned everybody out.
To the heavyweights. I don't like John Jones, so I hope he gets knocked out. Go ahead.
Dude, every single – can you imagine, though, since he was – I mean, for like the last 8 years, he hasn't had one easy fight. Like every person he fought was either the number one contender, number two contender, or a champion.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah.
That dude, I mean, it's amazing because everybody has a bad night. There's sometimes when you just get tired of doing that shit and they go out and they get fucked up or whatever. But he hasn't.
I know, well, bro, he's probably
the body of work. It's crazy.
He's probably the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that Joanna champion fight against Yang Zhang? How
say
that?
My God. Yeah. What? That's the greatest woman. I think that's the best woman fight I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was one of the best, period.
Yeah, that was, yeah, killers. Period. That was a great fight. You're right, period. It was a great fight.
How disappointing was that main event after that, though?
That was terrible. That was, bro, and here's the thing. I like how the guy goes out there and he's like, yeah, Yoel wasn't doing anything. Neither were you, motherfucker. So what are you complaining about? And then Yoel had the balls, and I love my Cuban brother, to say the same thing. Oh, you running, motherfucker, so were you. You know what I'm saying? That was a brutal fight.
Is there anybody, and this is, you know, I like Yoel. I wish I looked like that motherfucker. But can you imagine having his wrestling pedigree? There's never been anybody in this sport, period, that had his level. Or even close to his level, and doesn't use it whatsoever.
Bro, here's a question I asked Dan Lambert. I know. How credible is that? That makes him more vicious. This is what I asked Dan Lambert when he was on the show. What would have a 20-year-old Yoel look like in UFC? And he said, unstoppable. Could you imagine that guy, yeah, if he would have joined when he was like 25? Unstoppable.
It'd be a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he is the best wrestler that's ever did MMA
and never wrestles. Yeah,
and doesn't use it whatsoever. That's unreal that he doesn't even try.
Right, right, and he's 40 years old.
I hate it.
He's incredible. Yeah. Hey, Shane, before you leave, any recommendations on comic, TV series, or movies coming up, or that you've seen?
Listen to Highway to Hell almost with a comic recommendation, because if you want me to wrap it up, I'm gonna start talking about comics. That'll be another 30 minutes, but.
Right.
As far as movies, the things I watched recently, I saw The Invisible Man. That was all right. If you hate men, if you're a woman that hates men, you'll like The Invisible Man. And I saw that Lady Gaga Bradley Cooper movie too. Yeah, they were okay. Those are the ones we watched. Not last
that
night.
That movie was very overrated. I saw that, and that was very overrated. That boy, was that
dude, I do not disagree. A Star is Born.
A Star is Born, yes. Yeah, I went in there thinking, wow, this is going to be great, and it sucked.
Yeah, my expectations were pretty high, and I was kind of let down. But yeah. Great, I mean, Lady Gaga is a good actress, you know. I thought she did great, and Bradley Cooper's awesome. But that story, I feel like that movie could have lasted about an hour and told the same story.